You're listening to the Wheel of Time TV podcast with Jay Florence.
All right, everyone can hear each other, right?
Yeah.
Yes, this is so cool.
Yeah, we're doing it. It's finally happening. Well, welcome back to Randland, everyone. It's been a minute.
Yeah, right?
We've been on an extended hiatus, obviously somewhat due to COVID-19. And I feel, you know, kind of guilty for abandoning some of our friends. We only meant to be, you know, on hiatus for February. I was moving to Los Angeles in March, so wanted to have some time before up and running. But then obviously the past few weeks have been kind of crazy for everyone. I thought it'd be fun, you know, for everyone who is stuck at home, if we took a minute, just any update you might or might not want to share about how, you know, things have been going for you. But then I wanted to share everyone at least one way you are coping or self-caring during the COVID-19, you know, shelter in place or stay at home sort of guidelines. So if there's anything you're doing to kind of keep spirits up or take care of yourself, since you can't go out, you can't go to the salon, you can't go to the bar, anything like that.
I got, guys, this is so silly. I love getting my nails done so much, but obviously I can't get my nails done. So I got this polisher, a buffer, but it's made out of like it's made out of glass and it buffed my nails. And I buffed my nails for like a good hour today.
Can you come buff my nails?
Yes, I will come. I buffed my little heart out. I even, I have been sheltering in place with a significant other, which has been super fun. And I even buffed one of his nails.
One nail?
Just one. That's all I got. That's all I got was one nail.
Okay. Well, a buffer sounds good. I know a lot of people, if there's women at home who had gel or powder nails before, I know I taught Matt to remove gel yesterday and my nails are pretty destroyed. So I could use a buffer.
I highly recommend it. It's very satisfying. And my nails are shiny as shit.
Yeah, I actually like succumbed to the stay-at-home blues and ended up putting some polish on my nails as well. And now it's all chipped. It was gel and I didn't know. I actually texted Jamie like, how do I get this shit off? And then...
Did I respond?
Yeah, you did. You did. Okay. It's like a whole ordeal, which...
You can't get it off.
Can you gel your nails without a light?
There's like gel-like polishes. So I actually bought one, but I haven't done my nails yet.
Yeah, I did it. It's like, I imagine this is not as good as what I hear the salon uses. I don't know.
Right.
But
it's probably pretty solid.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. I was happy with it. But it is like chipping out, but whatever.
I'm going to send you guys a picture of my shiny as fuck nails.
Yeah. Okay.
So I spent some time listening to The Wheel of Time, which was new for me because I always read it before. I tried to listen to it a while ago and it just didn't work for me. I'm not really a huge audiobook person, but I gave it another shot and I really enjoyed it. It was nice to get a different perspective by way of the audiobooks. I also appreciate being able to multitask while revisiting the world.
It is nice. It's like nice that, you know, sometimes I like to spend a long time making an elaborate dinner or even, you know, a simple dinner for yourself. And the audiobooks let you do that, you know, or you can listen to them while you clean or while bath.
Yeah, while you're doing anything. It's pretty great, actually.
Yeah.
Audible sucks, but the audiobooks are great.
Yeah. One thing, you know, because I only listened to the audiobooks for the first time just this past year, especially after being able to do the Q&A with Kate Redding and Michael Kramer at SpoilerCon. And Lauren had been touting listening to the audiobooks for a long time. But the way that Kate Redding and Michael Kramer trade off reading based on the point of view, I think is interesting and allowed me to sort of experience it in a different way because it really sort of shines the light and and makes you pay attention to whose point of view it is and how that shifts throughout the story. You can kind of, it like delineates a certain rhythm of changing from one to the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know they were married.
What?
I mean, when I first started listening to the audiobooks before, you know, I knew Wheel of Time was even like a cult following, I didn't know that they were a married couple. And I actually guess I didn't know they were a married couple until SpoilerCon.
Hmm. I'll admit, I didn't know that much before SpoilerCon. So.
Wait, did anyone see the picture of my shiny ass nails?
You know, every time you talk about your nails, I'm going to have to post this on our blog now.
What?
Your buff nails.
They're so they're, buff, right?
They're buff as fuck. I feel like that's the kind of tool you don't want your boyfriend to find, because I feel like men would just be like, what else can I buff? And just like go around the house trying to buff different things.
I am waiting for that to happen.
I feel like maybe a man of a certain age would do that, like a very young age.
Okay. Speaking of men of young age, Andrew, how are you? And what are you doing at home to make life better for yourself?
Yeah, youngish. Let's be honest. Youngish. I would say prior to this, I would describe my general look as sort of like a Brooklyn office dude, maybe Brooklyn office hipster dude.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been rocking something closer to what I would call the Ted Kaczynski, or
oh, nice.
Otherwise known as the Unabomber. So that describes my general physical appearance as well as state of mind. I pretty much just go back and forth between freaking out all day long and then taking sleep aids to knock me the fuck out. So that's my life these days. But I have been reading more Wheel of Time, as you know, the idea of a world hurtling toward an apocalyptic final battle is really resonating with me right now.
So pretty dark, although I like your beard. I do like the beard. I like it both ways. You know, when you shave, you got that boyish Brandon Sanderson face, and then
Jane, we all like it both ways. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all aware of that.
Everyone's a switch on this podcast. I'm glad that you're reading Wheel of Time. One thing that's been kind of funny to me is, you know, people have all this time, and so people are starting to read Wheel of Time, and even people I know, I don't know if you've noticed anything in your own social networks, but someone saw my birthday present from Colin, which was the Weekly Wheel News hoodie that says Rand and Matt and Perrin and Egwene and Nynaeve, which is pretty sweet. And from that post, I actually found out some friends are reading the books. My one friend was like, yeah, I'm on book 3. Holy and it was someone that I never would have pegged for reading Wheel of Time. So I love that. I love that there's like people that we already know, and you know, you discover that they also share a love for this series.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, I'm glad for the most part we're all staying buff, some of us. And Andrew, I'm glad you have the Wheel of Time to keep you company. And I hope everyone else is safe at home. Obviously, Wheel of Time production for the TV show is on hold, so there's not a ton of news. But there have been some updates and obviously a lot of discussion, you know, in the absence of news among fans. Rafe came out and did a Q&A on Instagram, which we'll recap today and kind of talk through our thoughts to the answers that he gave fans. So right when coronavirus sort of began to be taken seriously and productions were shut down in Europe, Rafe returned to the U.S., he also revealed that he had been really, really sick. Does anyone know if he had coronavirus or if he was just ill?
I'm just going to assume he was just ill. I'm not going to
speculate.
No.
I mean, I'm not trying to like quarantine him or something. But anyway, he was nice enough once he felt recovered to do a Q&A on Instagram. So we're going to go through the finer points of that and recap it for you and sort of talk through our reactions. So one thing that I've seen in multiple places, so we have to believe that it's true, is that Rafe confirmed that there will be 8 episodes in season 1. No more and no less.
8's a good number.
Yeah, I mean, eight is, obviously I prefer more, but 8 is fine, you know? It's fine. I don't know. The one thing I do want to say is that he did not, I'm not looking at his actual response, but if I remember correctly, the wording he actually used, he said, I think this thing says that he was shooting episodes 5 and 6, prepping episodes 7, 8, and then had completed or was doing post on 1 through 4. But that's all jumbled because they didn't necessarily shoot in order. It said he was doing post on 4 episodes, not episodes 1 through 4. So okay. my point here is that it's interesting because the shooting schedule has been derailed. Will they have to hold because the seasons are going to maybe different by the time they can come back to finish the season if they haven't finished shooting all of this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think the entertainment industry overall is going to be seriously impacted by the Great Pause because it's not just this one show. It's the entire 2021
schedule,
television schedule.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So I think like how that will impact is yet to be seen. Obviously, they're going to need probably until the end of the year to finish the season, assuming they can resume work in June or July. I mean, if they shot half of it, I'm trying to, does anyone remember when the first day of shooting was?
Or what September, month it was? I think it was September. Pretty sure.
So September, October, November, there was the mid-season break. It's taken them like 6 months to do half the season probably. So it'll probably be another 6 months before they can finish, is my guess. So yeah, I mean, this might push it back like half a year.
Yeah. I'm just saying like seasonally, if they're shooting things outdoors, you're going to be in a completely different season than where you were the last
two years. Yeah.
Where you need to be for what you planned, you know, for
the winter.
Exactly. That's my point.
Maybe they'll just use a little studio magic.
I mean, that adds to the price tag though, right? That adds to, that's extra.
Oh, what's money to Amazon?
That's true.
What's money to Jeff Bezos? Not Amazon.
You know, I think 8's a good size. It's a good size.
That's what she said.
It's not the length of the season. It's important to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the motion.
Yeah.
We do now know the titles for the first 6 episodes. So just to recap, episode 1 is entitled Leave Taking, episode 2, Shadows Waiting, episode 3, A Place of Safety, 4, The Dragon Reborn, 5, Blood Calls Blood, and 6, The Flame of Tarvalin.
Those are pretty good names. Those have gotten me excited.
Yeah, and 7 and 8, still title unknown, as well as I don't think we necessarily know who's directing those episodes. We will talk about a couple more directors who are announced towards the end of this week's episode. But yeah, I mean, 8 is definitely decent if they're an hour long. I mean, that's an 8 hours of television. And hopefully the seasons in Europe don't impact production. But also, we don't know what's going to happen with Europe, even if the U.S. resumes, you know, life sort of quote unquote as normal. It doesn't mean Europe will be on the same timeline.
Yeah, totally.
In happier news, post-production is continued during lockdown. So that's good. Rafe did clarify, you know, they're not shooting everything and then waiting to do post at the end. It's sort of normal TV that they're shooting and they're editing as they go.
As they go, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Rafe did talk about condensing the story a little bit. So he said one of the first challenges they found was that Matt and Rand visit 20 villages and cities in the Eye of the World, mm-hmm. including Amonsfield, Taren Ferry, Verlon, Shatter Logoth, Whitebridge, I don't even remember Arian. I don't remember that one. Four Kings, Market Charon, Carisford, Breen Spring, Camelin, and Faldara, plus lots of unnamed ones. Obviously, yeah, doing that in production would be impossible. So there'll be less along the Camelin Road.
That makes sense.
What do you guys think? Because honestly, I love the Eye of the World, although it's not my favorite. But one of the things that really got boring for me, to be honest, is when Rand and Matt are traveling together when Matt's sick.
Oh, so annoying.
It's actually true. Like, I remember the last time I read the book, it wasn't as bad. It seemed faster than my memory of it. But I remember I've read that book, I don't know how many times at this point, but I remember my memory of it being like, God, I have to get to that point where they're like traveling on the road for like 500 pages. Like, what?
Yeah. And I think like, I don't know, like as someone who's read the series, when you reread it, then you're like, can I just kind of get through this stuff? But Andrew, I'm curious, as a first time reader, do you feel that way about, you know, when Matt's sick and Rand's schlepping them to Camelin?
I feel like their approach is fine to me because I think it's more important what events happen during that time than it is the actual villages they visit. That doesn't really matter. I mean, they could easily just do some
do some
events in the same setting or whatever. I would like to see Four Kings because I thought that was pretty distinct.
But when you're reading the books, did you find that particular section when Matt and Rand were on the road?
No, not really. I think if they do it the right way, it could be exciting because they're clearly in danger. They don't know who their allies are. They're running into dark friends. Matt's sort of half crazed and sick. So I think if they did it right, it could be pretty tense and exciting. I didn't find it boring. If I found anything boring to me, I find the dream sequences boring because I know they're not real.
Right.
And they're just sort of like, well, this is a lengthy description of something that isn't really happening. So I'd like to get back to the real world.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I agree that I think as long as they hit on the key story points, I kind of wonder if Elsa will still be in there, you know, when they stop off at her farm, just because she comes back in a later book. I won't give away any spoilers, you know, but she does recur.
They're still going to be traveling on the road, so I doubt they're going to remove anything that's really crucial. But I also do think that there's, and they could probably condense in all of that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
In the same encounter or whatever. I don't know. Now that I think about it, I think 8 episodes is actually like pretty solid. There's a lot of inner monologue stuff that like just and description, right? Like those two things alone like are a vast percentage of the verbiage on page in the books, right? So
yeah,
when it comes to like dialogue and action, which are the two things you're really kind of using, I think 8 episodes actually sounds pretty solid.
I think there's so much you can show in a visual medium, right? Like you don't need paragraphs and paragraphs of people's clothes and things. They just are wearing the clothes. So
You don't need paragraphs of people's clothes in a TV show?
I mean, maybe the camera will linger lovingly over the embroidered thorn-like golden knots of the coats or whatever.
I just picture the opening shot like a slow pan across bosoms with different necklines. Just like an establishing shot.
Arms crossed beneath bosoms.
I think once, you know, there's a few seasons, I'm going to have Matt cut together a super reel that's just pushed in really close on bosoms. So then you have to guess like what city you're in. No, like what? Oh, that's definitely Camelin. Look at that conservative neckline.
I can't wait.
Since we're talking about, condensing, what's going to be cut, this obviously the only confirmation we have is that locations will be condensed, not necessarily actions will be cut. But the Dusty Wheel did do a interview recently with Brandon Sanderson. And in the first part of the video, Sanderson talks about his role in the TV production, which he does clarify is minimal. He said, "I'm not deeply involved in the production itself. I think they might have made me a producer," which is funny. I love how he's like, "I think they made me a producer." But my actual role is something more akin to a script consultant. I read the scripts, then offer feedback to Rafe. the showrunner. And spinning off of that, he did this interview and he talked about how the show is very much Rafe's like take on the Wheel of Time.
I think there are a couple of big things that'll be very divisive among fans. And there's one in particular that I just don't like the change. And you know what? Rafe has let me have my say, right? And I'm still on board with what he's doing, even if he's not doing it the way I would do it, right? Like, sure. I don't want to sound like I'm spinning or things like that. I want to be frankly honest with you guys, but I tend to like, the wrong phrase, but, you know, I believe in a creator's ability and right to do something with their story that they want to do, even if I don't necessarily like it, right? Yeah. That's just art. I'm 100% behind Rafe. I think he knows the material. He loves the material. I do think he is making a very, his own vision of the Wheel of Time.
Sure.
As a show, much in the way that Peter Jackson made his own vision of the Lord of the Rings. I think those two are good analogies to one another. It's more like the Lord of the Rings adaptation than the Game of Thrones adaptation in that case. But it's also more like the Princess Bride adaptation, which was written by the same person who wrote the book, but changed things drastically to make the movie.
I think it's interesting that Brandon is sort of giving fans a head up. Sorry, I just noticed a typo where I wrote Branson Sanderson. Sanderson's basically giving fans a heads up that, you know, it's not a one-for-one book adaptation. It's going to be something more akin to the Lord of the Rings adaptation versus Game of Thrones, which was very by the book. So I think everyone needs to be prepared for that. And I think that means, you know, Elsa Grinwald might get cut. We don't know. Like minor actions and characters could be cut out and it could be, you know, a significant departure in some ways while staying very true to the characters and the overlying arc.
I mean, yeah, I think that that's, I don't like listening to Brandon talk about that. I was very much of an opinion that he was trying to prep the ground for like the uber fans who like are diehard kind of zealots for canon, you know. I don't feel any differently about the project now than I did prior to listening to him talk about it, which is to say that I understand when doing an adaptation it cannot be the original thing, you know, it has to be different. Yeah. And that could have something to do with, like we were saying, cutting out inner dialogue and cutting out description and finding ways to take the important aspects of that inner turmoil and turn it into dialogue or turn it into a scene, right? So now a new scene or a new character might emerge simply out of necessity of having to talk, like deal with this inner dialogue that we no longer have. So I think those are interesting things that I recognize are inevitable, or it could be something along the lines of how Rafe discussed how it's going to be a much more pillow friend world. You know what I mean? Like, so those are in those ways, like, sure, it is Rafe's vision, but in the same way as it would be anyone else's vision if they were directing it, you know, or they were the showrunner of it.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that we've been trying to lay some of the groundwork for that sort of mental shift for diehard book fans. You know, I do think everyone on this show is pretty open-minded to what, you know, the new TV adaptation might be. And I feel like everyone here is pretty amenable to change as long as it, you know, doesn't...
Isn't just change for change's sake. It has a reason.
Yeah, or violate, like, the integrity of the characters so much as we know them. The Dusty Wheel also did an interview with Sarah Nakamura, who's one of the book consultants on Wheel of Time TV show. And she also talked about, so basically her role, we'll play you a clip where she talks about her role and then you can go to our blog to listen to the whole video or visit the Dusty Wheel YouTube.
What I do have the ability to do and what is my major talent is whenever somebody comes to me is like, oh, you know, that scene and you know, where I think that happened or this thing happened, and they kind of describe it to me. And I'm like, I know that scene. I'm able to, you know, pull it up. I know what book it's going to be in. I know what part of the book it's going to be in. So there's not a lot of time wasted with me searching for things. So that's one aspect of kind of the preparation. The other part, which I don't know how controversial this is learning to divorce myself from the material.
Sure.
Now there are two very different versions of Sarah. There is this one that you're talking to right now, the super excited, super fan. And then there's the other Sarah who needs to be rational about the books and the story, and to be able to talk about it in a way with people that is non-judgmental and that is sure. open-minded and supportive, and so, you know, and willing to hear different perspectives without without casting judgment, because
sure.
you know, it's a creative process, and so you never want to, because of a fan knee-jerk reaction, tell somebody that what they're doing or how they're thinking about something is wrong. Even if I might disagree with that perspective or that outlook, you know, it's very important to be able to see the vision and to see all sides. In a way that is not tied into, how I personally feel about things.
But she also touched on this, and she said part of her job, one is to know the book so that if someone comes to her and says, you know, oh, I remember this scene with Perrin, she can say, oh, I know what book that is. Let me get the info for you. And also sort of gut check to be like, yeah, that's something Perrin would do, or that's out of character. But she also said she also has to divorce herself and like put that part of her brain on hold for the show and address it and be open to the fact that it's something else and it's not the books. So it seems like everyone who's speaking from the periphery of that production is reiterating that same point, which is good because it's a different medium. So yeah, it has absolutely. To change. The next Q&A was kind of fun. Someone asked, you know, Rafe, what's your favorite set in season 1? And, you know, what's your favorite prop? If you got to keep a prop, which would it be? Obviously, Rafe can probably keep more than one prop. But he said Faldara is his favorite set and the Great Serpent Rings of the Aes Sedai is his favorite. So I wanted to ask you guys, if you could keep one prop from the show for season 1, what would it be?
I think the obvious choice is the dagger, the Shadow Logoth dagger, which would be great. But I have two other options. One would be the Horn of Valyr.
Ooh.
The other would be the Dragon Banner, because I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh, that would be that's some good merch. Yeah. The Dragon Banner for like teens to put above their beds.
I think the horn would be, it's more kind of alluring and exciting than the Dragon Banner, but I'm thinking specifically the Dragon Banner from the books, because it's like this material that can't get dirty or something, right? It's like always pristine, which is, even though it's like Snow White, it's pretty sweet, but either way, that would be cool.
Okay, that's good. I feel like Andrew already has the Shadar Logoth dagger under his pillow.
Oh, boy.
Right, Andrew? Don't you sleep with it?
No, my friends took that away from me one night.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Sounds like good friends.
Yeah, they were looking out for themselves and me.
Have you been wasting away ever since? Like,
I think they broke the curse.
All right, Andrew, what prop would you keep?
Probably Pat and Fane's dirty rags. And then I put them on and I dance. I'm a dirty boy.
Oh my god. The smell though.
I'm a dirty boy.
I feel like Andrew, you should invent your own Trolloc, because I think that's the voice. You need to like give him a name and
is his name Dirty Boy, because that's
sure.
That's great.
I think I would want the Heron Mark blade. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Blade Master. Mm-hmm. Cool. Lauren, you're up.
I guess I choose I choose Bella. Can I just choose a whole animal as well?
No, what the fuck?
I want a horse in New York City to prance around on.
You can have Bella. There, part of the Q&A, Rafe clarified there are actually two horses playing Bella. One is trained to pull a cart and one is for riding.
That's a very different skill.
Yeah, cart horse and riding horse.
What'd you call me?
I'm assuming you'd want to keep the riding horse unless you have like a carriage or a peddler's cart I don't know about.
No, I don't have room to park that, but I do have an empty lot across the street right now, so I could just like turn the horse out to pasture cementish.
Cement pasture.
Cement pasture.
You were unfit to own Bella.
I could feed it. I could just throw some hay down and bada bing. Here's your barley. Here are your oats. Eat a banana.
All right, some more happy news. There have been a rumor going around, because we haven't heard about the Elaine or Min casting, that Elaine and Min were going to be combined into one character.
That's bogus.
Yes. So he did confirm that they will not be combined into one character, and Min will appear in season one. But he did not comment on Elaine.
Elaine's coming. She's coming down the mountain eventually.
Yeah, he didn't comment on Elaine, which is not a confirmation that Elaine is not in the first season, although he did confirm that Min was in there. I don't know. I'm actually not, aside from that one moment that I think we discussed in our earlier episode about Rand, or about Elida having to have the prophecy,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with Rand or them meeting later.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can kind of take their time,
yeah,
you know, in setting that wheel in motion.
Nice phrase.
He also clarified that, you know, sometimes very minor characters will be folded into a more major one to make the better use of the cast, but there will be no, quote, nutso combos for the sake of it. So new characters will be few and far between and will be inspired by characters in the book or a number of characters combined. The production cannot cast every named or appearing character from the books because then they'd only be able to afford, quote, a radio play, which is true.
True.
At any given point, there are X number of Aes Sedai named, and it would be impossible to cast them all. Fortunately, Narg has not been cut. Narg is our Narg. Our Twitter of Time Narg is also back in full force.
Blessed day.
Blessed day. when asked what his favorite costume is, Rafe replied, right now, Jeff from Bornhold.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting response.
Yeah.
You would think it'd be like loyal or something.
I don't know. I'm curious now. It definitely makes me curious about the White Cloak costumes.
It's nice to know that those are going to be pretty premium, you know, if it's his favorite.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's, you know, pretty fucking awesome and not just your run-of-the-mill, like, white cloak.
It's just a toga.
So they've confirmed that David Buckley is the primary composer. They may have some guest composers throughout the season, which is pretty normal. Rafe made a comment that he's been spending more time with Ishmael in the writing process.
Mm.
Which, you know, we had discussed earlier in Renland season one that he is the sort of primary villain of Eye of the World, mm-hmm. you know, the most tangible villain. So I think it makes sense that he'll have probably like even more prominent role in this.
Yeah. I mean, I think he has to simply because I think Andrew was making this point, like the Dark One is pretty nebulous, right? That's not a tangible or it's something that's easy to wrap your mind around in terms of like a threat, but it's much easier to wrap around like a physical villain, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense to me. That's interesting. I wonder if we'll see like if we'll get Dark Friend POV in season one, aside from like Peyton Fain.
I would like to.
Yeah, I would like to too.
Which other Dark Friends?
I mean, like, if I guess my point with that was the reason that was a segue for me is because Rafe says he's spending more time with the Shamael. So I'm wondering if, like, I don't know. I'm just curious. I don't know what that would look like.
So,
like that, but.
Yeah, but they don't. Well, this is a spoiler we already talked about, but they don't reveal that the Baal Zaman that's coming to them in dreams is actually Ishmael until. I mean, I actually haven't even gotten it to it yet. It's definitely not in the first two books. So I wonder, in the show, are they going to reveal that earlier? Or because it's definitely, until you know that in the books, it's definitely implied that it's he's actually talking to the Dark One, coming to them.
Talking to the Dark One, right, yeah. That's true. That's a good point. Oh, I did the prologue to book two, though. Is that not? That's completely Dark One, right? I'm sorry, completely Dark Friend.
Yes.
So if they're going into book two, there's an opportunity there, perhaps, unless they're saving that particular scene or bit of information if they do it for season two. I'm just curious, because I think as the books progress, we do get more POVs from both sides. So I'm wondering how early they might introduce that sort of concept.
Rafe also talked about his favorite Forsaken. We're not going to talk about it, but I think that is maybe something that would be fun to talk about if we do a spoiler episode, talking about our favorite Forsaken. And also he talked about his favorite Aes Sedai, which I think we can mention because it's not a spoiler right now, but Alana, Varen, and Swan.
Oh, nice.
I think we don't know too much about Alana at this point in the books. You know, she basically you see her a little bit in book two, which we read a few passages from in an earlier episode. But you really learn more about Varen and Alana later in the books. Swan, you know, we come to know earlier through her relationship with Moraine. The last point I'll mention from Rafe's Q&A is he did mention VFX, which we had an entire episode dedicated to, and he confirmed the team has spent a lot of time on channeling and how it looks. He said the early work looks awesome so far, and he screamed when seeing Moraine channel on screen for the first time.
Oh, that's so cool.
It is cool. I can't wait to see it, because I do not have a clear visual in my mind of what that should look like.
Yeah, and we've all just been imagining what it looks like for so years. So to actually see that play out is really freaking exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing.
Oh, speaking of channeling, I didn't share how I'm coping with COVID-19.
How are you coping?
Have you been channeling, Jamie?
The two Wheel of Timey things that I've been doing. One, I just moved, so I have a proper bathtub for the first time in 14 years. So I can take a bath. So I've been taking baths as sort of a relaxing and also just meditation practice, but I was listening to New Spring. So I listened to the audiobook in the bath. I finished it now.
In the bath, in one bath, you listened to all of New Spring?
Yeah.
That's big Elaine energy.
Yeah. Matt was like, don't come out till you finish.
Heat me up a lean cuisine. I'm listening to New Spring.
It took several baths to finish New Spring. Also, I was having trouble sleeping. So I downloaded the Rain app. And actually, there's been a fair bit of rain in California, but not in the last couple of weeks. So I was listening to the Rain app, and then I imagine that I'm accepted in the White Tower, and then I fall asleep.
Oh.
Are you do you fall asleep to think about your pillow friend?
Yeah, exactly.
Lorena Montana, pillow friend.
What about Montana?
I said Lorena Montana, I am your pillow friend.
Oh, Lorena Montana. I can guarantee you that my invented pillow friend's names are not Lorena Montana, the die.
It's a good one, though.
I don't really name them, to be honest.
They don't really need names. It's fine.
Maybe now I will.
Okay, so I have a question. Uh-huh. So one thing that Rafe mentioned is that there will be an Aiel.
Yes.
In season one. And he mentioned that the one in question would be a shock to audiences. So I'm curious if anyone has any speculation as to who it might be. Because the suggestion that it will be a shock to us is that we know who this character is. It's not some random Aiel.
It is a bit spoilery because Andrew doesn't know all the Aiel yet. I think he only knows Rourke.
That's true.
But I think we can leave the question open to fans and then we can bring it up in our spoiler edition.
All right, that sounds good. That's fine. I'm curious though.
I am curious too.
I'd be really pissed if it's the Aiel that I think we're all thinking but not saying, and there's no Elaine. That's bogus.
I mean, I was thinking about this. While he said it will be a shock to audiences, which, yes, does spark my curiosity, I was thinking how the Aiel later on, this isn't really a spoiler, but they're really important to the overall series, and we don't meet them up front.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the idea of bringing the Aiel in earlier and introducing audiences is a really good one. Because you don't necessarily want it to feel like an add-on later. I'm happy with that decision. In some capacity, you know, for them to be introduced as a people.
Are there any Aiel in New Spring?
Just in the beginning when Lan is wrapping up the Aiel War.
There's an actual Aiel in scene.
Not like Anne. He just kind of deals with them. They like speak to him. They call him Aniel and or
right. Okay.
Man Alone.
Okay. Just curious. Just thinking about that.
They're just there as a presence.
Sure. I mean, Rafe didn't say that it was a speaking role. He just said there was one on screen.
That's true. We don't know to what capacity.
Yeah.
Ooh, so much speculation around the Aiel.
Yeah. People also wanted to know if the Aiel will be tall, since fans are so obsessed with height. they are known as the tall people.
Yeah. Iron Man's really tall too, but Robert Downey Jr. is not, so I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like Danny DeVito and Joe Pesci. I mean, I think we'll be okay. Yeah. I just imagine they're gonna hire a bunch of like Dutch actors. Just like dye their hair red.
I like it. I like that idea.
I like his response, though, that he's more concerned about the acting ability than...
Yeah. That's always his response.
Yeah. I mean, but it's true, though. That should be the most important. Whether that actually is true, like, if he's actually doing that, but it should be the most important thing.
Well, and so far, we've been disappointed a little bit with Leandrin and potentially Elida casting, based on their appearance. So true. We're a little bit in that camp, too, just because it wasn't what we had in mind. Well, maybe not Elida, but Leandrin.
Leandrin was disappointing, yes.
She looks evil.
She looks evil. It telegraphs it too much.
Yeah.
But whatever. You know, we can't have everything. It's fine.
Yeah. Her acting will be missing.
Yeah.
So I did want to keep this episode to about 45 minutes. So I think we can save directors for the next time that we meet. But it's been great catching up.
Yes.
Great first episode back, guys.
Yay!
Everyone stay safe and cool.
Okay.
And fed. Lauren, come bake me some bread.
Oh my gosh, you guys, so much baking is happening.
Guys, this bakery made a squid ink sourdough, and I don't have a car to come get it, but I wish I did.
That would be so good. I'd definitely eat that.
Sounds pretty good.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can learn more about us at ranlandtv.com. and follow us on social.
Converting to the dark one. No offense, Andrew.
Converting?
Okay. Point taken. But we're all born into the light. He's not a shadow spawn, I don't think. He is hairy.
I mean, are you trying to imply that I'm a trollic, Jamie?
I mean, we do know you have a giant trollic penis, but...
Thanks.
You could still be human.
I don't know what animal I'd be mixed with, like a wombat. That's not very threatening. I'm part koala. I like snacks and naps.
I thought we had established wolf, but I
that's a lot sexier. I'll take that. It's a lot sexier than koala.
No, you went with wombat was where your mind first went.
Yeah, you went with wombat. We were all giving you wolf, and I don't know where the fuck wombat came.
Half wombat.
And I don't know what kind of penises wombats have. Is it like a duck? Is it like a corkscrew? I don't know.
Let's look it up.
I am looking it up, obviously.
Make sure you use your normal email.
This sounds promising.
Wait, it has four heads.
What?
Yes. I'll send you. Wow. I'm sending a link. This will be on our blog.
Make sure you look that up with your personal and not your work email, by the way.
The link is called One Shaft Four Heads.
Jamie, you've been Googling wombat penises.
You know, thanks, Andrew.
In human resources, there's been a lot of searches for wombat penises.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. What is that thing?
Little did you know, I've got four heads.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This episode is going to need a bit of editing.
You can't unsee that. Wow.
Were you even ready for that?
I was not ready for it. I thought I was, but I was not.
Aren't you glad that my curiosity got the best of all of us?
I will say it's hard to control where you're going to shoot with that thing. It's really just sort of a splatter effect.
Oh my God.
It's just going off all over.
We call it all the Jackson Pollock of penises.
Yeah. That's a tough thing about having four heads on your penis. It's just blasting off all over.